If you would, open your Bibles up to Exodus chapter 12. I'd like to show you a clip here that kind of opens up our message and speaks to the title of the where we're going today. So why don't we watch this and let's get ready.
We bring you the Word of God.
What is this Word?
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Let my people go.
Pharaoh of Egypt, you have not yet obeyed the Lord. Let my people go.
Obey the Lord. Let my people go.
That you may know these things are done of God.
How long will you refuse to humble yourself before God?
If there is one more plague on Egypt, it is by your word that God will bring it.
And there shall be so great a cry throughout the land that you will surely let the people go.
Have the captains join their men. With the coming of dawn, we will strike. No firstborn Hebrew shall live.
Let the Hebrews go, great one, or we are all dead men.
It was your son?
My firstborn.
He's dead.
As we look at that clip from Cecil B. DeMille and obviously Charlton Heston, who played Moses, and others, we see the theme, and the theme is the title, Let My People Go. Can you say that with me? Let My People Go. I mean, think about that theme, and I want you to connect with the reality that Let My People Go is not just a theme of Exodus chapter 12, an historical event that took place in the life of Israel. It is a thing today. It is the same thing that is spoken through the Word of God that declares, let my people go. The very mission and the purpose of what we read about in the New Testament reaffirms what God was trying to show us, which has been lived out, by just the amazing work of Jesus, that he declared, let my people go. You know, Passover is something that is such an amazing event. And I want you and I to see it more than just a historical event. I want us to see this very differently, because it's an event that speaks to our lives today. The relevancy is absolutely amazing. And too often we hear about these things and we recognize Passover's been practiced for over 3,500 years. And it's been something that I grew up with. The Passover was something that I learned and studied and shared in every year of my life, all the way till I left home when I went to college. It was something that, you know, I think about. I mean, I was 1 year old sitting around the table with my family as they celebrated Passover. And I think there's something very powerful and very important about it because of the meaning behind it. There's something that is very real that for you and I, we also need to experience and be reminded of the purpose of it and the importance of it, because it speaks to something that is absolutely critical. It talks about the fact that we have the overcoming power of the Lord in our lives. The very event that it spoke of, the very purpose. If you think about it, it was Jesus who connected something that you and I have and believe in that's so important, and that's our communion service. Every time you and I receive communion, and here we do it at least once a month, you have to realize that that service, that experience of the bread, his body, and the cup, his blood, comes out of the Passover celebration. It wasn't by accident that Jesus made this amazing choice to connect us, because it was God's decision a long time that these would be the things that would speak to us about the coming of the Messiah and what that would mean and one of the major purposes behind it. I mean, you think about it, when Israel had been enslaved for over 425 years, Moses comes and declares to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Isn't that the very thing that the Spirit of God declares to the world around us? Let my people go, that they might experience liberty and freedom and hope again because of the amazing work that Jesus has done. You have to understand that just like in the Passover, just like because of our communion that we share, there was a sacrifice that was made. And the sacrifice was made by Jesus. In the Passover, we learn about the lamb that was slain, that every household, as we'll see in a moment, Exodus chapter 12, was to take a lamb and slay that lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. And we have to recognize that what's really important about the Passover was the very last plague that was released. As awesome as it is, the parting of the Red Sea wasn't the big deal. I think it was really cool. But the big deal was the death of the firstborn. And you and I understand that the only reason that you and I might escape death is because of the blood of the Lamb. And who is the Lamb for us? Jesus. And so when the death angel was released and you saw that fog that came out and we watched that one soldier die as a firstborn, we know that the only reason that anyone in Israel escaped that moment who was a firstborn because they had placed blood over the threshold of their door. And that angel, literally the word Pesah, which we translate Passover, literally means the death angel passed over that house, and that house would escape death. How is it you and I will escape eternal separation? None of us will escape physical death. We will all face that battle. We will all someday face that final battle physically. But then we will pass over, just like in the story of Exodus 12, and we will escape the separation and experience life, eternal, forever, in this amazing place called heaven. But the bridge is the cross and the blood of Jesus. Because at some point, God's going to look at your heart and say, is there blood covering your heart? And it's only by the blood of the Lamb that you have entrance into this amazing place. And so you and I need to clearly understand the importance of that and be reminded of the amazing, how God helps us overcome. Overcome the events, just like the story of the Passover. Overcome the events of slavery. Overcome the events of bondage. Overcome the different things that would try to hold us. You and I have this amazing opportunity to understand that I believe ought to be something we live every day, not just occasionally, but to understand that God can bring deliverance into our lives anytime, anywhere, at any moment. Can you say amen to that? And yet so many of us live as if we are prisoners. Today, I believe God will set the captives free. It was pretty amazing in the first service, just to report to you. Over 33 people experienced this amazing work of God. And it was awesome what God did. I want you and I to be ready for what I believe God will do. Look with me in Exodus chapter 12. Now, I don't have slides on this. You're going to please encourage you to open up your Bibles. turn your devices on. I want you to actually look at the word with me. And I'm just going to read portions. Exodus 12 is an amazing story. Tonight, we're going to walk through it, and we're going to actually celebrate, and those of us that are coming, this amazing event of Passover, and it's going to be such a great experience. The food will be similar to what is normally experienced. The Haggadah, the story, the order of it is very similar, and you and I, but we're going to share an amazing event together. Starting at verse 1, we see the story of the Passover, a real event that took place that the Israelites, it says, while they were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. Verse 2, from now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat the whole animal, let them share with one another in the neighborhood. And then continued instruction there. But can I just point out, isn't it great how so many, it ought to start jumping out of you, biblical principles, sharing, working together, being a community, in the midst of even the most critical moment because of what's happening here, the principles of God's word are consistent. Can you say amen to that? I want you to begin to make that application. Now, it goes on and look at verse 11. It says, these are your instructions for eating this meal. I love it. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, or in some translations, haste. For this is the Lord's Passover. And on that night, verse 12, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the, notice it, gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But look what it says, verse 13, but the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, making the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Say that with me. I will pass over you. When the blood is covering your heart, God says, I will pass over you. You will not experience the consequences of the separation because of the blood of the Lamb. Wow. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Jump down to verse 21, and we see Moses called all the elders of Israel together. He said to them, go and pick out a lamb or a young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Drain the blood into a basin and then take a bundle of hyssop branches. Dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and the sides of the door frames of the houses. And no one may go out through the door until morning, for the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. Can you say amen to that? The Word of God says that when you follow instructions according to what God has spoken, then you and I can experience the escape of that final death and separation from God. But it also means today we can appropriate some pretty amazing things right now. This isn't just about future, this is also about today. The Word of God says if you would listen today, receive today what God has, you can also experience God's liberty and deliverance. You can also experience some of the amazing things that God would bring to us. It tells us that Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So I got to be clear, deliverance comes because of death. Our hope is the reality that you and I have received Jesus. And because of that, today, something can be broken. Today, something can be overcome. Today, something can come by way of victory in our lives. This is something that is of great passion for us here to understand that you and I can overcome the enslavement. I mean, think about what is it that enslaves us? When I look at this, I think of my history as a Jew, and I can look historically at the slavery of the Jewish people and all that they did. Many of us from different ethnic backgrounds can reflect on slavery and oppression and can reflect on deliverance and the hope that could come. And that's historical, and those are facts of life. But what about today? What are the things, because slavery here is physical, that affects us every way, but some of us aren't going to be bound up physically with chains. But how are we enslaved? I was thinking of addiction. Addiction enslaves you. Addiction takes over your life and controls you and binds you. I think of all the different types of addictions that can come. I think about how we can be enslaved because of relationships. We feel enslaved because of disease. We feel enslaved because of situations in our life that come our way, and we feel like I am held in bondage to the situation, to this event. I mean, you can be enslaved with an attitude. Some of us have not so good attitudes, and they enslave us and hold us. Our values, the system of how we live life, all these things become really important. And I believe that God, through this event, is reminding us, and this is the word today, that you can overcome. That there is a way to let the chains be broken. When I think of being a slave, I think of the elements of this, and there's, again, I'm just touching on, there's so many things we can think of, but I think of in the story of Exodus, there are three main things that occurred over and over again: bitterness, resentment, and death. I think about these three things, how easy it is for us to become bitter. It says they made their lives bitter with hard labor. Well, you know what? Our lives can be made bitter with what? Addiction, hurt, injury, unforgiveness. Sometimes I've talked with people whose lives have been made bitter because of a disease, something that they're facing. Sometimes resentment. It says the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. How many times do some of us, I've heard it said, I feel used. I feel used by this person. I feel used by this organization. I feel used by this situation. And then you hear the words of resentment that are so powerful. They're something that chain us up. They stop us. And of course, death. Again, we hear the story of death and how easy it is that we feel like death can come. Maybe not physical death, but the death of a dream, the death of hope, the death of maybe what we thought was our future, the death of what seems to be financial. And we began to feel like this is so overwhelming. And then we began to take on the symptoms of slavery. You know, the Word of God tells us the thief who would be like, if you will, Pharaoh, the devil, evil, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And so parallels the bitterness, resentment, and death that comes, that this thief comes not to bring anything that's good, but to steal away, kill, or destroy anything good of God in us. And but then the next sentence, right? You got to love the next sentence because it's the mission statement when Jesus says, I have come that they, us, may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Today, I want you to hear this. Today, something can happen, and I see too many of us as believers not understanding what we can appropriate by way of the power of God today. We live as if somehow something is going to happen when it's happening right now. God brings this amazing kind of ministry into our lives, this amazing thing, and you know, we act like we're chained up. Chains, just like this. Haven't had these out in a long time. Forgot how heavy they are. I got 15 pounds of chains here. And I want you to think about, not only, this is what I image in so many of us. And there's a lock on this chain. And we feel like you're going to pick this up, right? Thanks. Like the key has been thrown away. And here I am, no way out. I'm trapped. How do I get out? Now, I don't know if you ever see it, but I see this in the lives of people every day. They're in bondage. They're chained up because of the things we've talked about. This is bitterness. This is resentment. These are some of the things that really hold us back from experiencing the abundancy of God in our lives. And then the Lord comes and says, I've got a key for you. We can unlock these chains. And we go and we put the key in and we unlock it. And then, you know, some of us act like it's still locked. You know what I mean? It's like God has brought the deliverance and the victory, and we walk around like, well, how do I get out of this? I want you to understand that God says, here, I've come to set you free. He spoke the words, let my people go. And these chains come off, and God delivers us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's exactly what can happen in any situation of our lives. Rather than letting unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment trap us. I mean, I'm thinking, for whatever in these past several weeks, I have talked to more people who are held captive by resentment because of some injury somewhere. God has come to set you free. That is the story of Passover. That's why it's so important for us to repeat this over and over again. I don't want you to ever forget the fact that God has come to deliver you and that He has overcoming power. And I'm going to keep this coming as long as you're here every year. We're going to be reminded and in other places and times of how important this is. Because you know what I've learned? We forget. It's one of the reasons why you'll see written over every temple, somewhere in the front entrance, we will never forget. Because to forget means to go backwards. I don't want you to ever forget that you were once enslaved to sin, to all these things we're talking about, and that Jesus delivered you and set you free. Because maybe that will change your attitude and remind you when you think everything is maybe not going so well, you go back and remember, wait a second, look at what Jesus has done. Remember the work that has been brought about. Because when we allow our enemy to enslave us, and I've heard this, these are the terms I hear, I'm broken, I'm worthless, I'm hopeless, I am fearful. These are the things that God delivers us from. I want you to understand no one is broken beyond repair. Everyone can experience healing. No one is worthless. The world would want to communicate you're worthless. I just had someone the other day who was telling me how they went and were looking at themselves in the mirror, and their response was, I am worthless. See, I know for many of us, we have secret thoughts, private thoughts that no one knows but us and maybe Jesus. And there are moments when we have this in our head and we say to ourselves, I'm not worth it. We look in the mirror and we put ourselves down. We don't like the way we look. We don't like the way we're acting. We find something wrong. Rather than experience God's grace and best in our lives, we feel broken, worthless, hopeless, like who could ever do anything with me? How could I ever accomplish anything? Too much history, too much past. And then we live in fear The world is out to get us to be so afraid to move and to live. The principle of overcoming is so simple. Allowing the Holy Spirit to dramatically change our personal priorities, how we view ourselves, our attitude, and our self-perception. Listen, God, through this Passover event in Exodus, is telling us that we may need to change our personal priorities. Some of your priorities may be the reason why you are where you are. Changing your attitude. One of the great things God does in deliverance is changing our attitudes. I was telling Lois, my wife, just the other day, we were talking about some stuff, and I said, you know, man, would you pray for me? I'm struggling about this one thing in my life, and I have a kind of a bad attitude. Man, I love my wife. She so affirmed me in that. She said, yeah, you're right. Let's pray. But God doesn't work that way. Because every one of us struggles with this. Every one of us has these moments. And here's the message. Don't ignore it. Don't sweep it under the rug. God says, let's work on it. Let's do something. Because otherwise, you end up getting chained up again. God wants you to see yourself differently. You know what? You are one of the King's kids. You are a child of the Most High God. And it's time that we view ourselves for who we are. No one in this room is perfect. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But we all have Jesus that changes everything and can have Jesus. And then we change our attitude. The chains are broken. That is the story. That's why I love Passover. That is the story. That is part of our mission here. It's to communicate the world around us. You know what? There is overcoming by the power of the Holy Spirit. No one needs to stay trapped. Now, let me say something challenging, unless you choose to stay trapped. I think one of the great challenges that I see in this is that so many of us want this done in a way that is so, you know, like, I'll come once to the altar. You know, I'll read one book. I'll have one prayer, and then I'm done. I thought it's interesting that in these things, what did Jesus say? I mean, what did the Word of God say about the Passover? Repeat it over and over and over again. One time is not enough. The Word of God instructs us that our victory is instant for salvation. And then there's the work that God continues to do, that we choose to allow Him to do in our lives, where we are overcoming. And that is the story of Exodus, the story of Israel, the work that God brings. He's talking about these amazing changes in our lives. It teaches us that, you know what? He's going to work on our priorities, our schedules, our possessions, our attitudes, our hearts, our commitments. I noticed something as I read this, and I you may have noticed too, that throughout Exodus and the story of the Passover, notice a repeated word. Every firstborn. This month shall be the first month. Animals you must choose. Be a male of the first year. It says, will strike down every firstborn, both men and animal. The hearts, the first day remove the yeast. Commitments, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The word first is repeated over and over and over again. Why? Why the first? Why not the last? Why not the baby of the family? Or how about the middle child or the second? Why the first? Because the Word of God says, I want the best. Because in this time, it was understood that the first was the beginning of blessing. See, if you are living at this time, the first animal that is born is such a blessing because it speaks to the fact that, you know what? Now you're going to have more animals. It has to start somewhere. And so the first becomes, and if you take away the first, then how will you continue? I mean, think about the message to Pharaoh. This is a very powerful message to Pharaoh. Matter of fact, his firstborn was taken, right? Now, who was Pharaoh? Who did Pharaoh think he was? Remember your history. He thought he was a god. Pharaoh considered himself a god to be worshipped. And that was the whole point of control and power in Egypt at this time over this entire region. And who was it that would continue the reign and be the next god? Here's the thing. Only his firstborn. Not the second, not the third, only the first. That was part of the contention that was happening between Moses and Ramsey, that whole situation that was going on. There's a lot more going on than you might realize. But the point of that is the minute the Lord God took his son, his firstborn, here's what God was saying to Pharaoh. You're nothing. I have the power. You don't. And to prove who's in charge, I'm going to tell you, because you remember, Pharaoh thought that his gods would protect his son, that no one would take his son, no one would touch him, that he somehow was untouchable. And God said, no, I'm going to take your firstborn, and he did. God says to you and I, you want to overcome? You want to experience the very best? Then give me your very best. Give me your first. That's why God says, give me the first fruits of your income. He says, give me the first part of your crops. Give me the first of your time. Give me the first of your day. How are we supposed to start our day? By giving him the first minutes of that day to have prayer and devotion. We give him our first because it communicates the message that we believe in what God can do. And so Passover says, give him your priorities, your schedules, your possessions, your attitudes, your hearts, your commitments. And when you and I do that, we begin to live as people who are overcoming. And if you don't do these things, then it's going to be a struggle. Listen, God holds the earth in his hands. The only reason you and I have any hope is because God is in charge. The only reason is because he is our protector. Lamentation says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Why is that? Because God holds us and the earth in his hands. God forbid he would ever take his hand off. Because should he do that, there would be absolutely utter chaos. And we'd blow up. What holds us together is the creator of all things. We have this amazing opportunity to experience the victory that God brings. Listen, it's for today. This is something Hebrews tells us. It reaffirms what we're reading. Listen to the voice of the Lord today. Say that with me. Today. Look what it says. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. Right, referring back to Israel, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, said, listen to what that's saying. This is talking to us. How many times has God proven himself, shown himself, and we still ask for more? It's never enough. I have people who have said the words to me, I don't know if I can believe. I don't know enough. It's like they're saying, I don't know enough has happened. How could I really believe that Jesus is real? Listen, he says, therefore I was angry with this generation, said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Doesn't that sound a little bit like today? It goes on. It says, but, okay, exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, unless you get trapped into slavery, for we have become partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now, I know you saw this. What word was repeated three times? Today. 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 And that word in Scripture is telling us right now, today. Because here's what it's warning you about. If you don't do it today, it may not happen tomorrow. If you don't do it today, then there's a risk that your hearts could become hardened. And how many have I heard people say, oh, not going to happen to me. I can wait. I don't want to do this now. I've had people say to me, we've had this conversation, you need to make this change. And you know, here's what they say. I'm not ready today. I'll do it later. And I see many times following that statement, change does not happen. Today is the right moment. Jesus said, live in the present. Because remember, we've talked about this. If you live too much for the future, what's going to happen? You're going to have anxiousness. You're going to live with uncertainty. What happens if you live in the past too much? You're not going to grow. You're stuck with the past. And the Word of God says, look it, let me take care of these things, and you live today. Live right now. Let me work right now. Let me do something right now. And when you allow God to do this amazing work today, then the Word says we've become partners and partakers of Christ. Word says we'll receive a new spirit. And I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their hearts of stone and give them tender hearts instead. So they will obey my laws and regulations, and then they will truly be my people, and I will be their God. You get the heart of this? If you and I actually do it, put it into action, our very first, right there, it's on the wall, integration application of God's word in our lives. When that starts happening for real, and I'm passionate for us to do that. I know it's challenging because you have to do something. You just can't sit here and listen and figure you're going to soak it in and walk out of here and everything's going to be okay. It requires our effort, but we can do that. I've had so many people say to me, well, I don't know if I can do that. I'm saying it's okay. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. You can do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can't, that's the whole point the Word says. I want you to realize how hard it is so that you will what? Trust in me. Let me do the work. Listen, God wants his people to overcome and live free. God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I want you to be free. I want you to be overcomers. And John, when he saw Jesus, look at, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the one who will free us. Behold the one who will help us and bring us overcoming power, who takes away the sin of the world. Passover, one translation says, is walking towards me. Ugh, I love that. Passover is here. Everything we celebrate and will experience tonight is Jesus right there in front of us. God wants us to overcome. The principle of overcoming, allowing the Lord to dramatically change our priorities and how we view ourselves. Because we are redeemed, we are restored, and we are refreshed by the power of God. Say that with me. We are what? We are? We are? Today. Today. Right now. God says, are you bound up by a chain? Is there resentment? Is there bitterness? Is there death in your life? Is something holding you back? Is there a weight? Let it go. Jesus says, let my people go. That's exactly what he meant. Let's take the chains off. Let them fall off. And let's live free. Can you say amen to that, church?
Amen.
Let's pray.